Let's go.
Let's go. The podcast is ready.
Lucas and I were literally just chewing and swallowing our food.
Yep, I've just finished my lunch of a RX bar and some salsa sun chips.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, staying healthy today. What a good lunch.
I did not. I had some Tiger Bites.
Yeah, no, that's probably better than what I had. I just had 400 calories of snacks.
Lucas.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Lucas. It was 8 chicken nuggets and a thing of sweet potato fries.
Hey, man, that's a lot of protein. Come on.
Oh, I inhaled that too fast. Hello, welcome. It's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day. Lovely to see ya. Nice to see ya. Hope you're having a great time.
Are you having fun? Post in the chat if you are. Are you having a great day? If you're not,
get out.
That sucks.
Hope you guys are excited to be here for another day of adequate. You're doing adequate. Great. Wonderful. For some stellar programming, after this, we're going to be doing our script read-through, second draft of Thor Ragnarok. We've got a Hector Navarro joining us.
We got a special, very special guest. I haven't seen Hector in months.
This is true. Jeez.
Not a very long time.
Yeah, because I think the last time we had Hector zoom in for anything, you were still not here.
Yeah.
Dang, that's been a while. Yeah. So he'll be joining us for Thor Ragnarok, and then at 7 o'clock, we're going to be, or Kaylee will be GMing a one-shot.
A Wild Sheep Chase, D&D 5E. We have players Cynthia Marie, Malika, and Fob will
nice.
Be joining us. Fabian, Miss Kelly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that should be cool, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So that'll be a 7 p.m., 7 to 10 p.m.-ish. Playing some D&D, man.
Nice.
Bringing it back. Bringing back D&D. Speaking of D&D, how was last night?
It was good. It
you
was
guys
good.
Had fun last
yeah,
night.
Did
everyone
a lot of fun.
Tune in for Game Master's Gauntlet last night?
Yeah, I hope you all enjoyed it.
If you didn't get to see it, go check out the rebroadcast or the video on demand in our videos tab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty good time. And I love all those people. So
yeah, it was really fun. So we launched this new thing. I'm sure most of you who are here saw it. It's called Game Master's Gauntlet. It's a 4-week run. A 4-week campaign where every week we rotate the GM. So yesterday was the first episode. It was Emily. This week it'll be Abria, which was voted on by you in the chat room. Next week we'll see. It could end up being either Matt or Bert. And then depending on obviously who ends up GMing next week, that means that automatically we'll have our fourth GM picked out mm-hmm. for the finale, which will be on October 5th. So hope you guys enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think... collectively as a group, you know, like they learned a lot about sort of like what other things we can bring to the show. And I think tech wise, we learned we need a lot more time to prep for that show.
Yeah.
Or anything that involves a lot of people zooming in.
Yeah.
Because we don't just like cut to a Zoom screen. We crop
it,
everything
put
individually.
It in a little overlay.
Yeah.
Make it look nice.
Yeah. So it needs a little bit more setup time.
Yeah.
So tonight will be fun because we have Hector zooming in for one thing. And then after that,
then
we have three people zooming
Zoom
in for something else.
Zoom call immediately following.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. Those are two different Zoom rooms, right?
It's all one room.
So they're going to join Hector?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Hmm.
Well,
I told them to zoom in at 5:45.
So we're probably going to end the script read at 5:45, just regardless of where we're at, so we can get Hector out and get new people in.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Everything's a process,
Woo!
Man. Everything's a process.
yeah, so it'll be a fun time. You guys know you can go to oneshot.straightlogic.com to find out how you can interact with the script show and with the RPG. The script show is always a good time. I let Hector know that you guys mess with it hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can basically like find and replace a word. So you can find the script, and if there's a word coming up that you don't want to be that word, you can replace it with whatever word you like.
And we are picking up from where we ended up last week, which was page, I believe,
85,
scene 57. So even though Hector wasn't here last week for the script read-through, we're just going to pick it right back up.
Yeah.
Whole script is reset. So we are reading Thor Ragnarok. We're not reading Superman Firefest. everything's been reset back to zero.
Yeah.
So if you want to,
last
you'll be
week,
able to...
y'all quickly made that into a Superman movie. It quickly became a DC property.
This week, I'm like, are they going to turn into a Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Is it going to become a Batman movie? What are you going to turn this into?
It was pretty fun.
It was fun.
So tomorrow we have some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So from 5 to 7 tomorrow, We have a new episode of Spy Island. We've got some really cool guests. Let me go over them. We've got me, coolest one, Andy Campbell. You may know Andy. He's a real cool guy. Devin Kane, who's a very funny comedian. Jesse J. Bones. I'm not actually sure. This is a friend of Brendan's, but Brendan says, oh, man, funniest guy. Karate Carrots on YouTube, but his actual name is David Butler. Very, very funny dude. Alyssa Onofrio, or OMG Chomp on Twitter. She works for Crypt TV. She's super awesome. We have one more, Sage Ryan, right now. I'm looking for one more person still, but, you know, I'd say by the end of tonight, someone will have emailed me back being like, oh, heck yeah, I'm in. So, yeah, there's seven of our eight. And then, of course, your host, Brendan Mylove, will be there. It's going to be a really fun time. Come watch that crazy social deduction party game, Spy Island, tomorrow. After that,
yeah, dude.
From 7 to 10 tomorrow, we're going to be playing Game of Thrones Risk. Now, I've been doing some research all day about how to play this game, and it's a lot different than regular Risk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's very strategic. It's going to be super fun. It's like it's done a really good job of incorporating like the Game of Thrones aspect, like the actual, you know, think of what Game of Thrones means. You're like trying to like take over different thrones and stuff. It's very cool. And you play the different families. It's a really in-depth game. Like it took me like 2 hours to the additional Risk rules to figure them out. So we're gonna have fun with that from 7 to 10 tomorrow night. And yeah,
I can't wait to see how you break it.
This Thursday, we plan to do some more miniature paintings, play some Warhammer 40K. I think we're going to be doing Necrons versus Space Marines. And I believe we're going to have Scott Rubin and Naeem Stewart Skyping in.
Ooh!
Zooming in. I don't like how Skype has become a verb.
The default? Yeah.
It's become its own verb.
Yeah.
I don't like that because I don't like Skype. but yeah. Jam-packed week. What are we doing Friday?
Golfing.
Oh, right. We're going miniature golfing. So, yeah, that's weird, right? Let's, yeah, tune in. Yeah.
We'll be doing miniature golfing, and then we'll be coming back and doing Mr. Piano Pants Hyper Hip Clips to round out the week. It'll be a good time. Yeah, we will be doing that IRL, obviously.
IRL, standing for in real life, which means on Twitch, taking a camera out into the real world.
Bum, bum, bum. Let's get into these terminologies.
Yeah, there's just a lot of preconceived, you have to have this prior knowledge to even know what IRL means on Twitch.
Yeah.
What that means is we're going out in the real world with a camera. I know what you know. You might know what IRL stands for, but it used to be a category on Twitch. And now it's just like what we call going outside with a camera.
Yeah.
We're going to be IRL. Yeah, like what? We're always real life.
We're all
I've
always,
only
all
ever
the time.
Been real life.
Yeah. But now it's its own thing. It's a thing. It's just its own thing. Yeah, it's like it's become the default term for all these different things. And it's like it just means this. It's not really, you know, anything crazy like that.
We're going to go outside with a camera.
That's right. We're going to go outside, see some blue skies. Probably not.
Yeah.
And hopefully not breathe in some bad air.
Yeah.
But that hasn't really been an option here in California for quite a bit. It's been pretty brutal out there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's still pretty smoky outside.
It is. Every time I open the weather app, it still says air quality, not good. I'm like, okay. I guess I'm staying in and finishing Cobra Kai.
Yep.
Which I'm getting very close. I'm only two episodes away from finishing Cobra Kai season two. And, man, that show's heating up.
You're going to love the ending.
The episode, I don't know if I want to spoil it, but there's a thing that happens at Miyagi-Do that kind of like broke my heart and made me very sad.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it had to do with I had just watched the movie
the
night before. And it was crazy that the timing worked out that way.
The show hits a lot deeper after watching the movie.
Yeah. Because
they've done a really, really good job of making it just a direct sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like straight up, like these are the same characters, and we are hardcore referencing that first movie.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's really, really good. If you haven't checked it out and you have Netflix, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It's a really easy show to watch, too. Those 30 minutes fly by.
Yeah.
And I love that it's 30 minutes, and there's only 10 of them.
Mm.
So in very just bingeable. A few hours, you can watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and I love it for that. I wish that more TV was made that way nowadays, because mm-hmm. I just, like, I'm a trash monster. I just don't have all the time in the world to watch all these shows. Yeah. Cobra Kai is the show.
Yeah, we're talking about Cobra Kai.
It's the sequel series to
Karate
The Karate Kid. It's very good. I do love it very much. We also are continuing to do giveaways for our clubhouse every single day that we hit our goal and or our milestones throughout the day. Every 500, we're giving away a slot in the clubhouse. We have to decide exactly when we're going to do it. The weekend came and went.
It did, man.
And everybody had stuff to do.
Yeah. It's the 15th already.
I know. I don't understand how the month is flying by.
It's 9/15.
I still thought we were in the first week. I was like, oh, it must be the 7th.
It's 9. Like, we're in September. What?
Guys, what is time
Jeez
anymore?
Jeez whiz, boys. It is March the sequel.
It's wild. Like, the fact that we've officially been kind of like on house arrest more or less for 6 months now is like crazy. Half of our year is gone.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to be that way until, I don't know. I don't know when. Kind of wild. My mom works in biotech, and she sends me updates on stuff that's happening on COVID.
Yeah.
And she hasn't sent it to me yet, but she's like, I have a whole list of stuff that, like, our company is using as, like, a guideline. The one thing that she told me was, like, people who have gone out to eat at restaurants, it's, like, exponentially increasing mm-hmm. how many people are getting coronavirus.
Makes sense.
And she was like, avoid it at all costs. Get takeout. Don't eat anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like, Jesus, man, we're getting into that season.
Yeah.
It's going to get crazy. So I hope everyone's strapped on and strapped in and excited to be home for, you know, for a couple months.
Yeah.
I'm very not excited about it, but.
Exponentially is a good word. And we use that often. Exponentially can be used sort of loosely, but it, like, there's hardly better examples of exponents in the real world than a pandemic.
Yeah.
Two people infect exponentially more.
Yep.
Four people infect 16. Yeah. So it is very exponential, and it's very dangerous. The more it increases, the faster it increases.
Yeah.
So that's the thing where it's just like, man, we should have been locking down a lot harder, you know?
Yeah. Bad Wobot says it's his girlfriend's 32nd birthday. I think you said tomorrow or next week. What should they do? Learn to 32. Cook yourself a nice dinner. Get yourself some flowers. Whatever her favorite, like, treat is, if it's ice cream or chocolate or candy or whatever. Rent yourself a good movie. Get yourself some wine. And have yourself a good night.
Yeah.
Just hang out.
There's not much better than cooking someone a nice dinner.
I agree.
There's not much more that I would want in this world than getting home and someone's like, hey, I made you dinner. And it's like, it's good. And it's something that I put time into. I'm so thankful for that kind of thing.
I mean, look, you can get a lot of mileage just making some homemade pizza, honestly. And like, homemade pizza can be very easy. It just takes a little bit of prep. But like, cooking a good meal for somebody that, like, you really put your heart into, and they will obviously recognize that because you're doing it. It's kind of like the best option, especially now that we're in this, like, quarantine. Mm-hmm.
You want that restaurant feel? Well, come on home. I'll wait for you. Would you like more water?
Oh my God.
You want to tip me 10%? You want to complain about the food and make me send it back? I know you've been dying to do that.
As I take my robe, my cooking robe off and on to, you know, redo the meal.
You want to complain about the AC and I'll go pretend to turn it off?
I think that's probably the best thing you can do is to just, like, make them a good meal, get some wine, a good snack, a movie. Just hang out. Maybe play some video games after that, you know?
Yeah.
Just like
some board games.
Yeah, enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Don't be in a rush. You know. You could also do a picnic if you have like areas around you that allow you to have good social distancing from people. But, you know, make it a day. Just make some good stuff.
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can do. I feel that cooking has become quite like therapeutic in a way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I try to cook every weekend, and it's just like, it's my time that I'm not focused on anything else.
Yeah.
You can't text me when I'm cooking because the house might catch on fire, so sorry.
I'm not paying attention to you. So I hope that helped. I hope our advice helped.
Let's talk. What's new? What's new this week? Let's talk about some news, I guess. I mean, do you want to talk news? You want to talk whatever? Just talk?
Yeah, dude. I just want to talk. This is the most time that Lucas and I get to just, like, sit and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're kind of just, like, working across from
each
other.
We're just working. We're just working on stuff.
We'll usually, like, spit some shit at each other, and they'll be like, ha, yep, and then da-da-da-da-da. But this is the most time that we get to hang.
So, Big Yeetus has officially been added to Fall Guys. Did you see this?
What'd you call yourself?
Big Yeetus. Yeah, that's also my pet name. Big Yeetus is a... so, basically, there's been a mid-season update to Fall Guys, including, like, better anti-cheating detection, and this new thing called Big Yeetus, which is just a giant swinging hammer that appears on random levels.
Is it this,
and starts yeeting people towards the finish line.
Is this pink and white one that I see?
Yeah.
I love how it says Big Yeetus and Anti-Cheetus is now live.
Yeah, consider a retweet us or something like that. Yeah. The Fall Guys Twitter is amazing. But yeah, so basically they've been working pretty hard on their some anti-cheat stuff. They actually had a really cool thread about Cheat Island on the Fall Guys Twitter about, like, basically there's been this huge problem with cheating in Fall Guys because it's not the most hard game to hack for anyone with, like, a Unity, the Unreal Engine. It's not super hard to get into and see what the level's going to do. So there's now these, like, automated programs that just allow people to basically skip to the finish line. And this game blew up beyond what they were ready for. So cheating has kind of gotten out of hand. And what they were doing is they were flagging cheaters and sending them to this, like, they had, like, basically, after a cheater, like, won a round, they would get sent to the queue where you're being paired up with other players. They would just be falling forever.
Oh.
And anytime they reported, like, hey, I'm falling forever, like, Fall Guys proper knew that, oh, that's because you're a cheater. But anyway, what was happening is that they were in their own lobby and trying, and like, the Fall Guys servers were trying to pair them up with other cheaters. And eventually, there have been a few where they, like, they can't really confirm that this was Cheater Island, but eventually some people started posting videos of, like, hey, this is crazy that this happened, and it was, like, 14 cheaters all at once, like, trying to get the crown. So it's like, yeah, you just admitted that you were cheating. Anyway, it's all very interesting. They made this thing called Cheater Island that was making cheaters pair up together.
That's amazing.
So that they were, like, kind of canceling each other out.
That's hilarious.
Very interesting thing. But
I have played the game. I played a very limited amount of the game. It's one of those games that it's so fun to play and it's very addicting. It will also piss you off.
Oh, yeah. But I think it needs more of that. I'm actually super stoked about this Big Yeetus thing because when you were, like, watching trailers of Fall Guys, you were thinking, man, this game is not going to take much skill. It's going to be super random and stuff. But then, like, everyone started getting these strats and such, and I think that that kind of lost, like, what the game was trying to be. Like, the randomness element, that it's like, man, you could be anybody and win this match just based off of, you know, you need to know the controls well, but, like, we want the levels to be super random.
Yeah.
You know, but then people started noticing, like, oh, well, on DoorDash, the last door is, like, millimeters shorter, so you want to go through that one. So people started noticing, like, these little things in the game to take advantage of. Which is fine, but this Big Yeetus hammer is going to add that element of random of, like, hey, I was in last place and I just got yeeted to the finish line. And I love that stuff. I think that that makes it a more fun game for me, who gets off work at 10 p.m. with no time to practice that day, pairing up with, like, the MLG players.
The best of the best.
And I just get yeeted by them, and I'm like, woo, I win! Which I think is what they were kind of going for with the game. When you were watching trailers, it was so silly and stuff, and then it started getting really serious, and now there are people who are very good. Which I still think, like, it's going to have that, you know? It's a game about averages. You just play a ton. You're playing with a ton of people. There's still going to be people that are, like, winning way more than others.
Yeah.
But I think this is a really cool random thing that they can add in.
Oh, it's cool. It's a whole thread. And they talk about patch notes. PC, our new anti-cheating system for PC is now in. PC added ability to blind game actions to mouse buttons. Or bind, sorry.
Yeah.
PS4 improved stability when creating parties on PS4. There's a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I want to play way more of this game because I was playing it last weekend,
It's so fun.
And it's so fun. And it's like one of those things where like you can kind of just like shut your brain off.
Yeah.
If you've just been like overwhelmed all day, you can just shut your brain off and you're just focused on like platform to platform, getting around players. And there was one part I got stuck where you had to pick up. It was like flags or something from the opposing team. I forget exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pick them up and I kept falling and I was getting so fucking mad.
Probably
at this
eggs.
Game.
Yeah, sometimes
eggs,
you'll
that's
just
what it was.
Sometimes you'll just get like top heavy and randomly fall over.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
It's amazing though. It's a really fun game. I'm liking that they're really addressing some of these issues that that will keep, I think, its longevity very relevant. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's going to stay relevant for a while if they keep making these updates to make it interesting. And, yeah, someone was like, so Hinkie's got 120 wins. It's like it's like there will still be people that are just MLG at this game. I've gotten 3 crowns now passively. I haven't been playing as much, but I've noticed every time I get a crown, the following game and the following, like, 5 games, I don't even qualify. So it's rage-inducing for me. Of like, man, I'm on fire. That was such a good crown.
Yeah.
And then I will just lose the first round the next, like, 10 games. I just want to throw my controller through the TV. it's a fun game, though.
You
very
know what
fun.
I'm trying to find out, and maybe somebody can help me here. How do I get a early access code to Crash Bandicoot 4?
Ooh.
That's where I'm trying to get to right now. That's where I'm at in this world. I want to play me some Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time, because it's about time. I don't even remember when Crash Bandicoot Warped came out. I think it was like, must have been like early 2000. I don't even know.
Yeah, like earlier than that, I think. Before 2000.
Probably 99,
98. Wow. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yikes, dude. I've been waiting 22 years for this game code, so if someone wants to get me one of those, I'm super pumped to play this game. There was a new trailer, I think, that came out on top of them doing these like early access things. Man, I'm so pumped to play this.
Yeah.
They really know how to, like, all these remasters that they're making, they really know how to hit an old man like me in the nostalgia feels. Crash Team Racing was super fun. I didn't play Crash on the Run, but that's what I like about games like Fall Guys and even stuff like Crash Bandicoot and even Tony Hawk. They're just very easygoing and, like, you're just you're not competing with the rest of the world. And sometimes I get really annoyed with games like that. And I know Fall Guys, it's kind of part of it.
Yeah.
But it's like a very low lift type of a thing. Like when I played Star Wars Battlefront, man, I got so angry playing that game.
Yeah.
Because you're playing, again, with like the best of the best of the best. But but in a shooter game, you get shot once and you're out. And you die constantly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like, that's what I like about these other games. It's like, this is more for me. This is more my style. Because I'm a shitty gamer. But, man, you put Crash Bandicoot in front of me, I'll see you tomorrow.
Sometimes those simple games can really get a lot of mileage for you. Because, like, again, sometimes you don't want to be connected to people. You just want to shut off and, like, mindlessly play a game. Don't want anybody watching you, judging you.
Yep.
Don't want any pressure.
Yep.
And you just want to, like, lazily game on something.
Yep.
Which is nice, you know, playing Crash Bandicoot, I could sometimes be on the level and set the controller down and go make myself a drink, you know? I don't even have to press pause.
No, you
know?
Don't. You can just let it sit there and it's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen to you.
It's not like some 8-year-old is going to come murder me and teabag my corpse while I go make myself some nachos.
So nachos, anyway. Very specific, huh?
I mean, what do you eat?
That's true.
That's all I eat. That's all I I live a nacho diet.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. You just dip a little more and a little more each time.
Shout out to Bathtub Kraken, who's currently got my favorite username on screen. and then I saw someone said, first time tuning into chat in a while. Welcome back. I forgot your username already. Welcome back. I'll see you here in a second.
Welcome back to the party, my friend.
Yeah, we're just talking some news. So Big Yeetus has been added to Fall Guys. If you haven't played Fall Guys in a while, consider booting it up today and see what that's all about.
Yeah,
it should
dude.
Be a little random fun element.
Yeah, dude.
What else?
We watched the new trailer for The Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
I was very surprised. There was a lot of like mixed opinions about this trailer.
I think it's a great trailer.
I thought it was totally fine.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I very rarely go into these trailers and expect, like, I don't know. You don't really need to knock my socks off.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to watch a trailer. And if it kind of gives me a hint as to what the story's going to be, then I'm kind of like on board.
Yeah.
And I know Mandalorian has a lot. Okay, I should back up. Not Mandalorian. But I know some of the stars, or one of the stars, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding her because, you know, some people just choose to have really fucking weird opinions in 2020.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the unfortunate world that we live in.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people were like, I can't be excited for this show because it has this person. And I'm like, I totally understand. I totally get it. You know, if seeing, you know, a person like that, it upsets you, then it's totally valid.
Yeah, totally.
But in terms of the trailer, you know, watching it, I can see where people were kind of felt like they were like let down by it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of, like you mentioned, I think before, it was like they were expecting to see certain things that probably shouldn't be in the first trailer.
Yeah, it shouldn't be in the first trailer. And it also, like, that first trailer, it told me where the season was going to go. Mm-hmm. And if you drop in all these like cameo appearances, it makes it feel like, wait, is the show going to be about that now? Especially mm-hmm. with these very important characters in this established universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it like told us, like, here is going to be his adventure and his mission, Mandalorian, and like how he and Baby Yoda's relationship is going to flourish and continue, which I'm so stoked by. Like, they basically said, here's the adventure, and I'm like, oh, cool, this could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like, maybe we'll learn some new stuff about the Star Wars universe. And I'm, like, so excited about that this show has those opportunities to basically write Star Wars history. It's so cool.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, like, we've continued to tap dance in the Skywalker timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandalorian, the thing that excites me about that the most is, like, characters like Luke, Han, Leia, they still exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lando, Chewie, they're all still part of the world, and they live on in that universe. But we don't reconnect to them for, like, 32 years.
Yeah.
So the fact that Mandalorian is really taking advantage of this like prime real estate of what happened right after the Empire fell
mm-hmm.
is great. And it allows for so many opportunities to just tell new and unique stories. And I agree. I think because it also takes place in an era where the Jedi have become these like mythic characters, they are not at this point, like a relevant part of their history.
You know,
these were these ancient warriors, and they even referred to them as that.
Yeah, and they referred to them as like evil magicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think like that
evil
whole
sorcerers.
I think like that whole idea really intrigues me from what they can write about how people on the outside viewed the Jedi mm-hmm. and the Sith and the Force. You know, just like Han Solo, where he says it's like, oh, it's just nothing but a, you know, hokey religion. And I'm like, cool, I want to know if more people in the universe had this sort of perspective.
Yeah.
And you know, there's been a lot of teases that like Ahsoka Tano will show up, that Boba Fett will return. I don't know how much of this stuff has actually been 100% confirmed by anybody at Lucasfilm.
Yeah, and I think that's what people wanted from this trailer.
Yeah, they wanted to see the first look of Ahsoka Tano.
I want to see them drop, you know, this character that's been teased so I can get, you know, my actual jingles dangled.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a great trailer. I'm stoked for the season. Did you play Jedi Fallen Order at all?
Only a little bit.
That game was dope.
Yeah.
And I played it a lot into college, which luckily I'm remembering a lot of it because it was one of the few games
I
played.
Which game?
The Jedi Fallen Order game for Xbox 360. Was it? Was it for Xbox 360?
I was thinking of the game that just came out last year.
Xbox, I'm thinking of that game. I am thinking of Jedi Fallen Order, and I'm mixing it up with the Old Republic video game. Did you play the Jedi Fallen Order game?
The new one?
Yeah.
I only played a little bit, not enough.
Okay. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They make some references in the Mandalorian trailer that I'm thinking is like connecting two things.
Oh.
I think. Like the throat singing at the beginning, that was prevalent in the Jedi Fallen Order game, How many people in the chat played Fallen Order? Because there was this ice planet. I think it's pronounced Ilum.
Yeah, that's where the Kyber crystals live.
Yeah, and it looks like some of those like places that you visited in that game, especially the ice cave. It mm-hmm. looks like that was featured in this trailer.
Yeah, at the very end.
And the throat singing makes me think like confirmed, just based off of that video game. And also the that's where the Starkiller base was. I'm trying to think timeline wise how this would work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, smarter people have probably thought about this already and posted online.
Yeah, but I'm very...
I think it's going to be really cool.
I'm really excited because, like, I know there's a lot of people who say that they don't necessarily need to have Jedi and Sith in these shows, and I agree.
Yeah.
But at the very end of the last season, you tease a Darksaber. You gotta, that means you have to explore Jedi, Sith, Force, lightsabers.
Yep.
And if they go to Elam, where like all the Kyber crystals live, or a big section of Kyber crystals live, then I'm like, tell me more about this story.
Yep, totally.
And I also think that the Mandalorian will have this like jaded perspective on Jedi.
Yeah.
And I hope that with the child, it'll help him sort of get a better understanding of like what they actually and what and who they actually are.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe it'll recontextualize what Jedi are for us.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, and that's like Vash is saying. That's kind of what I was getting confused. Elam is also in the Old Republic, and what I'm liking, I have not read any of the comics, but what I'm liking is the imagery is so similar to the video games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so cool that the video games kind of established.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like some comic imagery or like you know some very like early storyboard imagery or concept imagery that someone official made, but it feels like they're pulling those images directly from the video games, which is really cool. It's kind of like that inspired this. This universe we're exploring now.
And at the end of this year, actually in a couple months, I think, unless it was delayed, they're launching their new series called The High Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book series and it's a comic book series, and it explores the Jedi 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace.
Ooh.
Yoda will be in it as like a younger version of himself, so he'll be like 700 years old. He'll still be old as shit, but he'll still be younger.
Couple less gray hairs.
Yeah, a couple less gray hairs. It won't have any of the other Jedi that we've seen in other movies unless they have the ability to like live that long.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see. They have almost like, they look almost like kind of medieval-esque, like medieval knights.
Yeah.
They even have, I think some of the lightsabers have like crossbars on them and stuff, kind of like similar to Kylo Ren. But I'm excited to explore that uncharted territory because, again, we've played in the same timeline for the better part of 40 years.
Yeah.
And I like the fact, like, let's just go 200 years in the past.
It's
let's
so
go
exciting.
Into the future.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want. I want more of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And if the High Republic is the closest thing I'll get to the Old Republic, which is 1,000 years before, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will also end up seeing, like, a TV show or a movie series set around that as well. It makes sense. Why would you not do... exactly. Why would you not do Knights of the Round Table in Star Wars?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be so fucking cool. I'm totally on board with it. So, but I thought this trailer for me personally, it was fine.
Yeah.
It didn't like knock my socks off, but I already kind of know what to expect from the show because there already was a previous season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, great. You're just teasing that there's going to be a new adventure with the child and the Mando.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to overcome new obstacles. I thought some of the visuals were fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing some of the stormtroopers and seeing some of the guys on the scout bikes like dropping
through
down
the canyons and
yeah
stuff.
Like
so cool.
That all looked cool to me.
I'm a sucker for that stuff of the scout bikes maneuvering
through.
I
also do wonder that if because of if Disney Plus brought in the subscription numbers that they were aiming for and like overshot it, if that meant that if a lot of that was because of the Mandalorian, that they gave them a little bit more money to like develop the technology a little bit more, because I think the volume is really freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that they've used it has been incredibly impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that, you know, for the new season, they will take it up a notch. And then for season 3, a notch more. So, like, every year we get to see new ways that they utilize that tech. Especially now that I think almost exclusively that show is shot indoors.
Yeah.
I don't think they shoot a piece of that show outside.
Really?
Unless they happen to have a location local that serves the story, but they shoot in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine there being much in Manhattan Beach
for
them to use outside of their studio. So I don't know. It's just very impressive to me to see how they have built their entire pipeline.
Yeah, totally.
And use all that stuff.
And there are elements of the show that, like, it still feels pretty cheaply made.
Yeah.
Like, this is not HBO budget level shows. So it would be cool to see, like, some improvement in some areas.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, little VFX improvements and stuff like that. That'd be amazing. And, you know, I would assume Disney would be doing that because I would imagine that it was a major subscription draw for people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Why not divert that budget?
I mean, it's probably one of the main reasons, like, I even bothered.
That's why I still have it.
Yeah. I mean, I own everything that's on Disney Plus that I love, I own it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for me to have it.
I literally got Disney Plus for The Mandalorian, and I've just been passively paying for it since. I just have not taken the time to unsubscribe.
Same. Yeah. Same.
Because I don't truly care about most of these things on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I either own the ones I care about or it's like it's on Amazon or whatever. So
exactly.
I got it for the special features they might drop and for shows like The Mandalorian.
I guess I probably should use it to watch Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That probably would be the most advantageous thing for me.
So good.
Some people are asking about the volume. So the volume is an enormous room, like a warehouse basically, where they have LED screens built in a 360-degree circle, basically. They're basically built in a circle, and they have one entry and exit point that they can go through. But what it allows them to do is they can create all of the backgrounds digitally. And the way that they have, they're using the Unreal Engine. And the amazing thing about it is if they move the camera, the tech in the, basically like the screen, the background will move and pivot with the camera. Mm. So you have realistic, what's the word?
Like,
oh my God. Parallaxing. Parallax.
Yeah. Here's a question that I've never asked, and I'm only now thinking of it. Do they go out on location and shoot that stuff and then bring it into the studio, or are they making
those? It's all digital.
It's all digital.
As far as I know, it's all digital.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they have a ton of reference material.
Yeah.
You know, photos. I imagine they also have a ton of reference material and photos from the Star Wars movies because they've been to like Tunisia and all these amazing places around the world to shoot this stuff. So they probably have a ton of reference material, but yeah, so they project on the screen, and if the camera moves this way, the background, you know, the parallax, you always have to make it match, which is like something that I'm like, man, how would we do that in this studio? Oh, we don't have millions of dollars to do that, so I guess we're not going to.
So it's basically they're eliminating green screen, which is, it's green screen's a pretty simple technology, but it does take a lot of work and a lot of processing power.
Well, especially because the character like Mandalorian, who's completely chrome, it reflects like
crazy. It would reflect the screen, and then you're eliminating parts of him because he's got green on him.
Yeah, I know with C-3PO, that was a really big challenge for them on all the movies because he's shiny and gold.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it's a nightmare because you key out the blue and it keys out parts of the character.
Yeah.
So you have to like manually do like garbage mats to bring the original source back in. But when you play it on a television, you don't, it's not that it's less work. It's just a different process and it eliminates a lot of hurdles. And it looks damn good.
Yeah.
It looks really good. So yeah, I really can't wait to see what they do with this new season. I'm pumped for it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited. Speaking of Disney, is looking to delay some movies. Black Widow being one of them, which is supposed to come out November 6th. Probably not going to happen because, you know, Tenet didn't do so hot, even though they've released it in like every theater that they can in the United States, indoor or outdoor.
Yeah.
I think it only did $26 million its second weekend, which is not great considering the movie cost over $200 and they got to make at least $400 to $500 to kind of break even. So, ouch.
Ouchies, man. I forgot Black Widow was even coming out. That was so long ago that we saw those trailers.
It was supposed to come out May 1st, I think. May 1st or 5th or something like that. Then it was delayed to November, and now it's looking like it's going to be delayed again. Marvel has this huge advantage, though, that because they planted flags for the next, like, 5 years, if they shift, like, they can literally shift their entire release schedule to slot in a new movie.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what they want to do, but I feel like that's kind of what they have to do at this point because I don't know how else they're going to get this movie out in 2020 and get the returns that they're hoping to get, because if you put it out into a theater and just the same way like we are now, it's not going to do it. I think there's still a lot of people out there who don't want to go to indoor theaters. And if drive-in theaters are a dime a dozen, then like, how do you get it out to the maximum amount of people?
Yeah. I mean, and that is like, you can release it to all the drive-in theaters in the nation and you are not
hitting your budget. There's only 600, I think.
Yeah. And you can't squeeze as many people into a drive-in as you can into a regular theater.
Yeah, you have access to an enormous lot.
Right. They have one or two screens. They do one or two showings. And, you know, you can maybe squeeze 100 cars into that lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for Tenet, the drive-through, the drive-in that we go to, they're only playing it four times a day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's not a lot.
Right.
Most movies, they have at least like six showtimes a day.
Yeah.
Throughout various screens.
With several screens.
So if the one by us is playing on two screens two times a day, you know, it's just not enough.
Right.
Not
and
enough.
That's the LA metro area.
Yeah.
That's basically what we have access to.
Yeah, exactly. So it's unfortunate, but I think, like, you know, your only other move is to put it out on Disney Plus, and I think that it could do well on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, like, Marvel wants to put itself in a position to charge people $30 for it.
Right, dude. Yeah. I can't think of a single movie that I would pay $30 for that's coming out on a platform that I already subscribed to.
Exactly.
And that's me, very privileged me, with, like, I've got decent savings. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, think of anyone in America under me. If I'm average, think of the below average, the other half of America. Like,
spending
people don't
want
to spend $30 for themselves for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, single people living at home. That is, like, the benefit of, like, if you're a family and there's seven of you and you're sitting down for a night, spending $30 to entertain seven people is a great deal.
Yeah.
But, like, all the very poor
single
people living alone, like, $30 for a movie, no way.
I mean, $30, that's like a third of somebody's groceries.
Yeah, dude.
And it's
am
I going to dump
that's
that
my groceries for a week.
Yeah, it's like, am I going to dump that into one movie?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think if you bring people over, you host something, then sure, but then you're hosting people, and it's like, COVID, you know?
Yeah.
It's really tough. I just don't think the $30 thing is sustainable, and I don't know. If people paid for Mulan, you know, like, Keller bought it for us, and we watched it at Hector's house, but... It's not a thing that everybody can do, and Disney should not expect that from people. And, you know, if you want to charge an extra $5 to $10 for it, then, like, okay, I think that's, like, manageable.
Yeah.
But a whole $30 is kind of crazy.
Well, an interesting thing to me is that Netflix does this. I mean, Netflix doesn't have as high budget movies, and they're not trying to hit these weird algorithm quotas that
they don't have a Star Wars.
Yeah, but
you know?
they put Netflix originals up for no extra price.
Right.
And that's just, like, something that I feel like Disney should be ready to resort to.
Yeah.
It's just that I know in the back of their mind, like, they're like, we didn't have that thought going in, so we need to make this certain amount of money.
Right, right.
But, like, dude,
you have to, like,
you got billions.
Yeah,
so.
You have to, like, weigh the pros and the cons. And, yeah, I think Netflix is a perfect example. Or even Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Amazon Prime Originals, you don't pay extra for those,
no,
whether
not
it's
at
a
all.
TV show or a movie.
And I think it's, like, ultimately, and this is, like, a similar thing that we talk about, ultimately, it might be more important to get more eyes on your product than to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a little bit more important for people to see this movie than to try to make $1 billion.
Do you think that because of everything that's happen and how everything has happened, that going forward a company like Disney might look at, like, okay, we're gonna remake The Hunchback of Notre Dame, but instead of spending $200 million, we're gonna spend, like, 80 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if that's a thought process of, like, okay, maybe we're just investing way too much damn money into these remakes, and
I think
we
they
should scale it back,
because I haven't seen one of these remakes do well.
Yeah.
Have any of them
Do well financially?
Yes. Okay, yes,
but,
yeah,
but
that's,
like,
true,
but, like,
but
the,
like,
reception
critically,
of them,
no.
Yeah,
I haven't
I would
seen
say
one
Cinderella
that's...
has probably done the best.
Yeah,
critically,
that one people said was good, like, well shot.
Beauty and
really
the Beast
pretty.
Made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but it's critically
it's
just
okay.
Like, oh yeah, it's whatever, but this was made for animation. So
Lion King I did not care for,
right,
which sucks, because I'm like, this is the same guy who's making Mandalorian,
right,
and I really like Jon Favreau's movies.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like, why did you spend so much money on a shot-for-shot remake of something?
I watched scenes from that the other day because it was on at my house, and I was like, this is so sucky, because it's like a lot of people who are not professional voice actors, you know, be it, like, famous musicians or actors.
Right.
But it's just like, you don't put not voice actors in these roles unless, like, they can really deliver lines.
Yeah.
And everything just felt so flat and weird. It's like, man, some of this stuff is meant for animation.
Yeah.
Like, it's really meant for voice actors and really good animation to get the expression and emotions out of these characters.
I don't disagree, Shadow. I think Aladdin was pretty good. I think I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. It was fun. I think Aladdin made pretty good money.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think for what it was, I think they did a pretty good job. And I don't know how much of that was Guy Ritchie versus how much of that was, like, Disney.
Yeah.
The butter churning, like, group of producers. I don't know.
I mean, you saying all that, then with that question, I don't know that they would spend less money if they're making good money on these.
Yeah.
I think that they primarily operate as a business.
Money making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I doubt it. I think that they're going to keep spending a lot of money to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But man, I'd love to see them make more low budget stuff. Stick it up on Disney Plus.
I would too.
I love low budget stuff.
And I know,
there's a lot of heart in that kind of thing.
Like, so Hector said that his favorite remake that they've done so far, live action, is Lady and the Tramp.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in theaters. That's on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
only.
I was about to say I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Look that up.
It came out late last year, I believe. But he said it's his favorite remake so far.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what the budget for that was.
Oh, look at this. This looks cute as hell. Oh, my God. This trailer is just a freaking... Oh, my God. This dog holding the leash. Holy shit. I might have to watch this one.
Yeah, I have no idea what the budget for this one was. Budget, $60 million. See?
Yeah.
So they made a live-action remake of Lady and the Tramp with digital dogs. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they use real dogs in part of it. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But in any case, they spent $60 million, and I obviously have no clue how much it led to subscriptions on Disney Plus, but like, why would you not try to make like Mulan or Lion King or whatever for that same thing?
Yeah. I think that, there's a certain like charm and, just diversity to like a low budget film.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these like hugely
epic,
you know, almost like billion-dollar movies.
Yeah,
they're so formulaic that it's not really something that I want to pay.
Yeah,
I'm more likely to pay for like a low budget.
Same.
Something that's flying under the radar with like a cool new director.
Yeah, when Hector said that it was his favorite thing, and I mean like Hector, I love you, but you have very interesting movie opinions sometimes.
Yeah.
But I know that like we've been pretty eye to eye on a lot of the remakes.
Yeah.
And our disappointment in a lot of them, but. I really want to watch this Lady in Tramp. I mean, the
cast
is amazing. Tessa Thompson, Justin Theroux, Kiersey Clemons, Thomas Mann, Janelle Monáe, F. Murray Abraham, Yvette Nicole Brown, Ken Jeong, and Sam Elliott. I'm like, that's an amazing cast of actors that you got for this. It's directed by someone named Charles Bean, who I am not too familiar with. Sounds like he was a voice actor on the Lego Batman movie, on Ninjago. Mostly seems like he was... like acting and writing and stuff. So I'm like, dude, I got nothing to lose. I already have Disney Plus. I might as well watch it.
This looks great. It also looks like it's using mostly real dogs as actors.
Yeah.
But it does look like, there's definitely some computer generation stuff in here.
For sure.
I can't tell. I'm not watching it with audio, but I can't tell if it's like the Homeward Bound thing where they don't actually make the dog's mouth move when talking. Or look, if it's just like hearing it.
It's got a Cavalier King Charles.
Yeah.
So like I'm already on board because those dogs are just adorable.
It looks pretty cute. I might
Cute. It
came out November 12th.
Yeah, November 12th it came out.
Year.
So it's almost been a year since it came out.
Yeah.
And I would love to know just generally what people thought about the movie. I haven't like seen a ton of people talk about it, but also it did come out last year. So I guess that's to be expected.
JVC guys saying it was super good.
Yeah, see? So yeah, man, I think like... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about all this stuff because I personally don't care to watch any of them.
Yeah.
On a good recommendation, like if Hector's saying that one's been his favorite, then I might watch it.
Yeah.
But like I did not care to see Aladdin, didn't care to see Mulan, didn't care to see the Lion King. Mulan was the most interesting to me, but with the $30 price tag, I'm just not going to until it's a little cheaper.
Yeah, sadly, I was not the biggest fan of that movie.
Yeah, because that one wasn't necessarily like a remake. It was a different telling of the story, right? Which I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
$30, I can't right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the case. Speaking of Hector Navarro, there he is. You guys can't see him, but we can see him.
He has joined the call.
I think that to me is kind of like, man, maybe it's just time to scale these budgets down and to not try to make these $200 million dollar
pop
remakes.
It on make a Disney Plus original.
Exactly.
I love that idea.
Hector knows the answer to this question, but I can't hear him, so you know he can't answer it. Guys, is CBS All Access 4 years or 6 years old?
Yeah, what?
I was looking at Hector's reaction. He's like, well, I don't know. I was doing some research, and next year it's going to be rebranding from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus. I don't know why everyone has such a chubby for the pluses at the end of their for their brands.
Oh, plus, like the iPhone?
Like extra? Like the plus? So they're going to be rebranding next year as Paramount Plus, and they're going to be incorporating a lot more of the CBS or sorry, the Viacom brand or Viacom CBS stuff.
Everyone's saying like, no, it can't be, and people are saying like 3 years old. I'm seeing right here, October 28th, 2014.
Yeah, it's really weird. Because we looked it up, and it says CBS All Access was launched October 28th, 2014 for $6 a month with advertising and $9 a month or $10 a month without advertising. It was the first OTT offering by an American broadcast television network. So I don't know if they maybe did like some soft relaunch of it.
Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery launched on All Access. Yeah, but when was that?
That was not long ago.
That was 2014?
That wasn't 2014.
Star Trek Discovery, I'm going to look it up right now. Launch date. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. Yeah, Star Trek Discovery premiered in 2017. September 19th, 2017. So, yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know where this like 2014 date came from.
Yeah, that's crazy.
As far as I know,
so
it's
anyway,
not that old.
They're rebranding to Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, and it's going to incorporate a lot more stuff out of their archive, including sports. Nickelodeon is going to be a part of it now as well.
Yeah.
So I guess like if you're already part of that like family, then I guess cool.
Yeah.
It just seems really weird to me that in just like, just under 3 years, you're already like rebranding this thing that
totally.
Still feels like it still feels so new to me.
Yeah.
I still have not jumped on CBS All Access.
No, me neither. I think the only reason I would is for the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't even know what's on CBS All Access.
The only thing
I ever hear about is Star Trek.
Same. Star Trek Discovery and Picard. And I'm like, am I going to get a subscription service for just two shows or am I just going to buy the Blu-ray?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I might look into this one because I've loved HBO Max and I've loved Netflix lately, and that's about it. And I'm actually looking at scaling back.
Yeah.
Maybe if this one has some stuff that I like, I might like, okay, I'll divert that money
mm-hmm.
from like Hulu. I still pay for Hulu.
Yeah.
And like it's been pretty meaningless for me lately.
Yeah,
I just
watch
Futurama on Hulu now. Uh-huh. I still pay for what do you call it? HBO Go, which now I have HBO Max,
right.
So it's like I need to get better at budgeting.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there's going to be like some appeal for people for some of the shows that they're developing and they're making. One of them is like a Godfather adjacent scripted series.
Okay.
Which like if you like The Godfather, then I guess that's for you.
I mean,
if you've never seen The Godfather, then I don't know how appealing that is if you're like somebody in a younger audience who watches Nickelodeon stuff. I don't know. I worry that we're going to get to this point very soon where we're going to end up having as many streaming services like we did cable networks in the early 2000s.
It's just cable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's got to be some hub that exists that people can kind of like figure out a way to like put all these things into, but I don't know how that works with like back and forth of partnership deals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think if big companies like Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal, Sony, if they can find ways to like really, really, really put all of their archive on these streaming services, then I think it could be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also really need to figure out how to advertise them well, because HBO Max has a ton of stuff, but I don't think people know that it has as much stuff as it does.
Did not know until I got it.
Yeah.
I got it for Raised by Wolves, and then I saw all this extra stuff that I was not getting on HBO Go.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, there's like every comedy special of all time that they've ever done on HBO.
Yeah.
There's all these, there's like channels on HBO that you get through just having the HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty extensive.
It's a ton of shit.
Yeah.
A ton of shit. And yeah, we still have things like Peacock and just all kinds of stuff is out there.
Yeah, I'm interested in, man, I don't know, because I do like the diversity and the competition of like, you know, brands are kind of having to make their own, because I don't want Amazon to own everything.
Right.
But I'm also interested in the idea of Amazon being like, hey, you can pay like per show from all these networks that we have access to. And that would be like way cheaper for me whenever I'm paying for one show on one network.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. There's like so much stuff out there, and try to keep track of all of it and to like, okay, I want to go watch this one show. Where can I stream it?
Yeah.
And it like spiders off to five places. I'm like, I just want one.
Yeah.
Where do I watch it? What's going to give me the best bang for my buck? I don't want to invest in five services to watch one thing.
Yep.
You know, I think that's like, I think that's just like the constant struggle with these things.
Yeah, totally.
It's a real pain in the boot, boys.
Yeah. I'm hearing there about it because I do like everyone having like, I think that there's a good thing to bust these, you know, conglomerates, these huge monopolies. But I don't know that that's actually happening.
Yeah.
A lot of these are actually owned by the same companies, and they're just making money in different ways.
Exactly.
With different services.
Exactly. Before we go, I want to let you know, on September 29th, you can go on Airbnb, and you can spot yourself a night at the Fresh Prince House in Bel Air.
Yeah. Totally. It's only $60, you
only
said,
60
right?
$60 a night.
Which means
I'm like, what the fuck?
Which means you've already missed your chance.
That's
the waiting,
right.
The waiting
someone,
list is insane.
Yeah, someone's already got the browser open and they're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to be doing our script read for Thor Ragnarok. We've got very special guest Hector Navarro. He's going to be joining us. He's over there in the background. You'll see him. You'll
got
love him.
It.
It's going to be a fun time. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Bye.
Goodbye.